and we have our first caller ready. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Hello?
Yes, would you like to direct your question to one of the gentlemen?
Yes, I do. I'd like to address my question to either Mr. Gordon or even Mr. Knight, whatever his name is.
Okay.
The first, I'd like to give a little information. The word Bible is found in the Bible, and it's a word taken from the Greek, which means biblion, and it means book. And all through the scriptures, you're saying that word, the things that have been written in this book, Moses said, blot out my name. Blot out my name out of thy book of life, and so forth. The second question I would like to ask is this. In Luke 20:17, it says that the angels cannot die. One of the gentlemen said earlier that in the burning bush, and it does say in the New Testament that angel that spoke in that bush under the name of God, which was given by Yahweh, was the angel that spoke out of the burning bush. And if that's the case, I think one of the gentlemen said that they believe that it was Christ. If that's the case, then I'd like to know, was Christ an angel then, or just what form was he in? And if it was actually Christ, angels came back. Luke 20:17 bears that out, and I'd like to know why, if you could answer on that.
Okay, thank you. We're not saying, we're saying that Jesus Christ was pre-incarnate there and that he took on the form of the angel of the Lord. Notice I use that word form of the angel of the Lord. Now that does not make him necessarily an angel, okay?
Well, what
you understand that? When Jesus was raised from the dead, he came forth from the tomb in a glorified body. That was another form.
That burning bush, though, the Bible says that he was, that was the angel that spoke out of the burning bush.
Oh, agreed. And we specifically said that that angel in Exodus 3:14 carried the title of Jehovah God. And we also pointed out that in theology, we call that a theophany, or a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ.
But the word in Malachi 3:6, it says that the Lord thy God changes not.
Exactly. In his nature and in his essence, he changes not. In his divine attributes, he is the same from all eternity.
I think you're playing on words, but the Lord is not an author of confusion.
I agree.
And he doesn't write the book to confuse us, or, you know. But I'm not satisfied with the answer. I know it's not true, but anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Let me first say at first, I enjoyed your program very much today.
Thank you.
Yourself and the other gentleman is there. You know, it's nice to hear two sides of the story, and I will hope that something like this can continue, or to hear and maybe continue this. But the question I have is for, I think for Mr. Attorney, or maybe some of the other gentlemen there, that in my understanding, I believe that there's some things it's impossible for God to do. I think we read this in scriptures, that he cannot sin, he cannot lie. And yet, I think I heard the comments that were made that because of an incarnation or something, that what was impossible for God to do, that he was able to die. And that really bothers me, because then we're saying that what's impossible, that he could sin, he could lie, he could do other things. And we have a God that is possible for him to lie because of incarnation or things along with the lie.
What is your concept of death, sir? What does death mean to you?
Death?
Yes.
Death is a... complete out of existence, the thoughts perish of an individual.
No, that's not the way the word death is used in the Bible. I got a Vine's Expository Dictionary here, and the word death is the word thanatos in the Greek. Now, let me read you a definition of what the word death is, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thanatos is used in Scripture of A, the separation of the soul from the body, the latter ceasing to function and turning to dust, and also... B, the separation of man from God. Adam died on the day he disobeyed God, and hence all mankind are born in the same spiritual condition. Now listen to this, okay? Death is the opposite of life. It never denotes non-existence. As spiritual life is conscious existence in communion with God, So spiritual death is conscious existence and separation from God. And that's the definition of death in the Bible from the Greek.
Okay, I understand the definition, but that's...
Well, see, the problem you're having is you're saying, how could God die? And your definition of death is a complete cessation of consciousness, is it not?
Well, it does say that. Do you believe it's possible for God to die then?
The humanity of Christ, indeed. We believe that it was the humanity of Christ that was... crucified on the cross, that died on the cross.
Do you believe it's possible that God the Father can die? Whichever way you define it, whichever way you want to term it, do you believe it's possible that God the Father can die?
Okay, we do believe it is possible, and it was possible, and it did happen, that God the Son, in his humanity, did die. And again, your concept of death is not a biblical concept.
Yes, okay.
Mike,
one brief comment?
Okay, we're going to have to move on quickly. We have
fine.
Many calls holding.
I do feel that this is a different subject from what we're being debating today.
I agree.
And I would like to plainly state that we have a difference of opinion in regard to the death state, and what you read was not from the Scriptures, but a commentary on the Scriptures. We would be glad to discuss it at some future date, but we do think it's different from the subject today.
Fine.
Okay, thank you. One other question I have, a quick one. Jesus said that not my will, when he was at... God and Gethsemane, but thy will be done. What was how do we understand the two different wills? If Jesus was God, how could Jesus have a different will?
Okay, what we've got to be careful to differentiate between at this point is differentiate between Jesus Christ in his humanity and in his deity. At that point in time, he was speaking in his humanity and addressing the Father as God, and obviously it was the Father's will that he wished to be done, not his human will.
I can't see the two differences between the two. It's either the only way I can understand it is it's either one or the other. Either he was Jesus or he was God. But to have two different wills, you know, to have his own will that was in opposition of God, and I think you raised the question that how could Jesus refer to as being good to have a will of his own that was in opposition to God.
Okay, the Scripture doesn't say, though, that his will was in opposition to God. You're reading that into the text.
Well, he says, not my will, but thy will be done, which would clearly establish that there's two different wills, and he wanted the will of God to be done. So I would think that the only conclusion we come to is that Jesus' will was in opposition to God.
He didn't specifically say that in the text. You're reading that into the text.
The way I read it, the way I understand it, I'm sure it seems to say that. I don't want to tie up the line too long.
Yeah,
sure
the lines are, we're going to, we expect calls even off the air. So, I'll tell you what, would you call in again maybe next week and we can deal with this again when we have more time?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your call. Bye-bye.
I think before we take any more calls, perhaps I should just again tell the folks what is happening today. We have two gentlemen, Warren Phillips and David Pride, representing the Christadelphians, Gordon Bride and Mike Turney. And the subject that has been discussed today is Christ part of the triune God? Is he co-equal and co-eternal with the Father? And we're taking questions from you, the listener, and if you would like to comment on the subject, please call 737-0700 and direct your question to either Warren Phillips or Gordon Bryden, Mike Turney, or David Pride. We now have another phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, yeah. To Mr. Phillips, have you discussed the verse John... 10:30, yeah. I and my Father are one.
Yes, I got that, and I'd be very glad to make a comment on that.
Right.
I and my Father are one.
Correct.
If you go on with the same writer that God has inspired, a few pages beyond when you get to John 17, you notice that Jesus, in his very beautiful prayers, and said, now I pray that my disciples may be one, even as we are one. Thou and me, and I and them, that they may be one in us. There was a unity there of holiness, of righteousness, of accord, of purpose. And Jesus prays that his apostles and his disciples, and you and I, we hope, might have a oneness with he and with God in the same way that they have a oneness together. And that certainly doesn't indicate that we would be part of a triune God.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your call.
Hello, you're on the air.
Am I all right? I have a few questions here. And maybe they can be answered one after another if I give them all at one time. One was in reference to a particular scripture that was quoted a little bit ago in Philippians, where it said concerning the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue shall swear. I'd like an answer as why is that compared with Jehovah's statement in Isaiah 45, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. I'd also like an answer why it is that Jesus in Isaiah 9:6, when it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." I'd like to know when Jesus was the Everlasting Father. You have some answers to that.
Thank you very much. We'd be very happy to try. First of all, where it says that he was the Everlasting Father, we notice it said he should be called the Everlasting Father, and indeed he would be. When Christ received immortality, God also gave him the power to bestow that immortality upon others. A father is a life giver. Jesus himself first became everlasting himself by receiving that life. He has immortality. Also, he can be a life giver to others by giving that immortality to whosoever is found acceptable. He, therefore, is an everlasting Father himself, and the life that he gives to others is everlasting as well. Now, I'm trying very hard to remember all of these questions.
Okay. Secondly, I refer to the scripture in Isaiah where Jehovah says that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear.
That's right.
As compared to Philippians when it said that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall
That's
swear.
That's right. Because God has now given him that position where that all others are going to have to bow unto him, except, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, that he is accepted, which put all things under him.
Okay, may I answer that scripture?
We'd like to ask you to try to keep your statements briefly because there are so many trying to call in. We do find, as we pointed out before, that God has given him a name above every name. He has given him a position that all are to be submissive to, and therefore Jesus himself actually is the name bearer. And in that respect, we find that Jesus could have terms that are interchangeable with the Father. He has been given all power.
Well, I wanted to present these things out. I don't want to hold up the line for other people. I would be interested in finding out more and speaking more to, I think, the Christadelphian side. I wasn't familiar with their position, but I'm an anti-Trinitarian myself.
At the close, we'll give you an address if you'd like to get in contact. Would that be all right?
Thank you
very much. Okay, thank you for your call. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to get an opinion on just where the Holy Spirit, in what category he falls into.
Okay, the topic of discussion this afternoon really did not deal with the person of the Holy Spirit, and what we were trying to do is keep our calls and our questions relevant to the theme that we proposed in the first place. On our side, we do believe that the Holy Spirit is God, and we have scriptures for that. On their side, I'm sure they don't hold to that. But is there another question that you had in reference to the particular subject that we're dealing with?
Just very briefly, it isn't the subject of today, but we would say that the Holy Spirit is God's power and can't be separated from him, but we do not consider it a separate individual person in any way. But that would be a subject for another time.
I see. I just thought it was part of the Trinity, so it would be part of today's subject.
Well, we agree that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and what we wanted to key in on was the subject of the nature of Christ. Okay? Well, our time is up. We have to make closing statements. Thank you for your call. Bye-bye. Okay.
Very well. By a very brief closing statement, we do believe that we've established our position that Jesus is the Son of the living God, not God the Son. We hope you'll take the opportunity to get in touch with us if you would like to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips and Mr. Pride, for being here. It was a pleasure having you. Again, we want to extend an invitation to any and all cultists to come on our radio program to deal with any issue that you would like to deal with. We would close in saying this, that we believe that we have established our position that Jesus Christ is indeed Jehovah God, John 1:1, the eternal Logos, was indeed equal with God, that he became flesh, and that he was delivered up for our sins. And we believe that there are three persons in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that these three do share the same nature and the same essence. Unfortunately, time did not permit us to get any deeper into the subject than we did. We hope that you have enjoyed this debate and this particular talk. These men will be in the studio off the air if you desire to call them. And so with that, may God richly bless you in the study and in the application of his word to your life.
You've been listening to a special Bible Answer program today. We had Warren Phillips and David Pride of the Christadelphians, also Gordon Bryden of Gospel Truth Ministries, Mike Turney of the Good News Broadcast Association. The topic that was discussed today is Christ part of the triune God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father.